And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
All right, let's get after it. Brought to you by good friends over at Skip. It's time for another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice, and this is a blockbuster one, my friends. Not just because of our great guests, but what we're talking about: sleepers, bounce back candidates, breakout candidates, and much more. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, and Anna Dua. Unequivocally, Pete, the biggest podcast of the season for us, no?
Absolutely. This is where we make our dough, right? This is where we win your fantasy leagues for you. We do the research. Skip, of course, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And Anna, we put these lists together. You could find them on nhl.com/fantasy to go along with the projections and the rankings. And it really rounds out the whole preseason draft kit for nhl.com.
Yeah, we work hard on these lists, guys. We debate a lot. Pete and I have had a lot of fights over the last couple of months to nail down the best players for all your breakouts, sleepers, and bounce backs this season. But we've got a good list. I'm excited for this episode.
And of course, nhl.com/fantasy, where you can catch all their fantastic work as we bring in today's guest, the one and only from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. It's Jay Conn. What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing great. You guys hyped this up as the biggest episode of the season, or I guess the preseason. So I'm not sure why you had me as your guest, but I'm very happy to be here with you guys. And it feels like hockey season again, talking to you, Anna, Pete. So this is great for me. It's good to be back with you guys.
It really does, especially living here in Canada. You turn on sort of the news and training camps are the first thing they bring up on the show. You know it's hockey season. So Jake, let's get after it, because everybody listening is preparing for their fantasy drafts. And the name that's been the consensus in terms of sleepers, and Pete and Anna, I'm sure, would agree, Pavel Zacha. Let's start with the Boston Bruins, because they're one of the more polarizing stories for me, of course, with Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci out of the mix. Pavel Zacha, are you as bullish as others on what he can do in fantasy hockey this season, Jake?
I think I'm a little bit more timid to jump into the Pavel Zacha pool myself, just because we haven't really seen him play this role before, right? So there's a lot of question marks there. I know there's talent with this player, and he's being given a great opportunity here. So there's a lot to like. Really, all the arrows point to him having a successful season here with Boston. But I think the more and more people look at him as a quote-unquote sleeper and look at him as somebody that they want to draft, his ADP is going to go up in drafts, and I think the value kind of slips away a little bit. So for me, it's just going to come down to where he's getting picked. I certainly wouldn't mind spending a pick on him, and I can totally see the case for Zacha. You know, whether he's playing with Pasternak or playing with Marchand or playing with both of those guys, he's going to get a great line assignment. He's going to get power play time. So I wouldn't fault anyone for being in on Pavel Zacha, but I think I would pump the brakes a little bit before we think he's just going to go off and have this monster season just strictly based on a line combination, because we've never really seen him play up in this role in the NHL before.
And with the Bruins, I mean, you really, it boils down to, are they going to put Marchand, Zacha, and Pasternak together? If so, that's where you could see the real monster leap after a career year across the board from Zacha last season. But the fun thing about this show, Jake, is that, and Anna, right, like you can pinpoint those elite teams out there. Of course, the Bruins won the President's Trophy last year and bowed out in the playoffs. But like, you could also look at some lower tier teams, and Anna, right, like the breakout guy at the top of our list this year, Cole Caulfield, he was on pace for 46 goals, of course, missed a lot of time because of injury, but you're very high on this player. You're higher, Anna, on this player and this team than I am. So explain yourself.
Cole Caulfield speaks for himself. I feel like when you go to these guys that you're taking a chance on, maybe drafting higher than other people in your league, it goes one of two ways. With the Pavel Zacha, what Pete said, he's on this elite team with elite line mates, but Cole Caulfield, we all know this guy's ceiling, right? We know how high it is. He's an elite goal scorer. He can score as many goals as he can possibly like make happen. It's just, he's been riddled by injuries. He doesn't have the supporting cast around him. But sometimes that is a good thing for a player of his talent to reach the next step, because in Montreal's top six, it's him, Nick Suzuki. Everyone else is kind of figuring out where they're going. There's no pressure on this team. They don't have the playoff pressure other teams have. So Cole Caulfield can really work on his game and go to the next level. And it's tough for me to even call him a breakout candidate, guys. Jake, if you want to chime in on this, I don't even know if that's fair, because he's shown me how good he is.
Yeah, when looking at Cole Caulfield, it is, I guess, tough to call him a breakout candidate when you put it like that. But I still don't think we've seen that full season from him, right, Anna? Like, we've seen it in flashes. We obviously know his goal scoring ability. He's going to be getting his as many minutes, as much power play time as he wants in this Montreal offense that's starving for goals and is starving for players to really step up and take that role. So I would still call him a breakout candidate, because I think we've been looking at it for the last couple of years as, okay, this is the year Caulfield goes off for 40 goals or goes for that. So 40 goals might be a little bit much in this Montreal offense, but I think if he stays healthy, he's got potential to get at least close to that number. And we know the shots on goal are going to be there because he'll be the trigger man on the power play. So I'm with you. I have a ton of interest in Cole Caulfield this year in Montreal.
Hey, call me crazy, but I think the Montreal Canadiens are like a sleeper team this year. Everybody's talking about other teams in the Atlantic Division. I'm not going to say they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to be sleepier than some expect. Sleepers, any lists you have this year, it seems like a consensus name out there seems to be Jacob Vrana, Jake, which is such a polarizing name, of course, but now with the St. Louis Blues, and he did exactly what he did when he went from Washington to Detroit. He ripped it up post-trade, right? 10 goals, 4 assists, 14 points in 20 games. There could be that Kevin Hayes attachment and first power play unit attachment as well for a guy like Jacob Vrana. Jake, how are you feeling about him this season?
Well, first of all, I don't know what to make of the Blues this year. I don't know if you guys can help me on that, because I just can't figure this team out. A couple of years ago, a team that, you know, really pushed Colorado, looked like a team that could possibly compete for a Stanley Cup. And then last year, just a complete disaster. So are they closer to last year's team? Are they closer to 2 years ago? I guess we'll see this year. I think we know the potential is there from them, maybe get back to that team they were a couple of years ago. Vrana, to me, is one of the most interesting fantasy files in the league. And he has been now for years, because he doesn't play a whole lot. So, you know, we don't get the sample size that maybe we would like with some of these other top players. But on a per game basis, there's not too many guys that score at the clip that Vrana does, especially at even strength. So you factor in some power play time, which you mentioned as well. I think all the arrows point to him having a really good season. But again, can we trust him to play a full season? Can we trust him to do it over 82 games? There's question marks there, but the good thing is you're not going to have to spend an overly high pick on Vrana. I think he's at least worth a flyer for what he's shown us on a per game basis over the last handful of years.
I agree with exactly what Jake is saying. And since we're on this subject, guys, right now, of players where we've seen this flash of excellence, but we haven't seen the amount of games to make us feel really safe picking them up, I want to talk about Aiden Hill in your fantasy draft. Baby. This guy just won a Stanley Cup, has proven himself as much as anyone could have possibly proven themselves last year, but we haven't seen too much of him. So is he a player that you're picking up in your leagues? Is he a sleeper that might get overlooked this year? Nick, let's start with you.
I'm trying to figure out where his ADP is. And it's funny you bring that. Before we went on air in one of my keeper leagues, a buddy's asking me, how do you feel about Aiden Hill? And I just wrote dot, dot, dot. Like, I have no response, because it's so difficult, as you just referenced, Anna. Like, he wins a Stanley Cup, but the body of work, it's pretty short. He found his game in like round two against an Edmonton Oilers team that was struggling for offense. All of a sudden, they go to the Stanley Cup. They win the cup. I'm probably fading, although I will say, Pete, and maybe you can piggyback off this, I think people could find good value in Aiden Hill, although I think Logan Thompson is going to fight for playing time this season. I'll say that.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if Logan Thompson picked up where he left off the first 2 months of the season. I mean, that's how quickly things could change, right? Binnington wins the cup 2019, hasn't really ever been the same since in a full fantasy season. And with Aiden Hill, I mean, honestly, like I'll be retired someday. I still won't be able to figure out how Aiden Hill won the Stanley Cup. I guess it was a healthy blue line, right? With Theodore Petrangelo, Alec Martinez, but it still baffles me. I still think probably Edmonton should have won that second round series, but maybe that's something for another day, a Stanley Cup prediction show and the bounce back for this upcoming season. But yeah, with Aiden Hill, like my only, you know, the only chance I have of getting him is if I lock up that tandem, because I do think, Jake, that Vegas is a lock for the playoffs this year.
I'm actually in on Aiden Hill this year, guys. And I think there's some value here still. I know it's going to be tough because you're going to be looking and there's still going to be some great forwards available, probably some great defensemen available. Heck, even some good goaltenders that have probably more name value than Aiden Hill. And you're going to have to sit there and click Aiden Hill, a guy that, you know, a couple of years ago, most people didn't even know who he was. And he's this, just this backup that's kind of bouncing around. But I just think he's in such a great situation there in Vegas. You mentioned the blue line, Pete. I mean, they're going to return that blue line. They're still going to be really solid defensively. He could bleed some starts to Logan Thompson. I could certainly see that happening, but I still think he's going to get his share of starts on one of the top teams in the league. And if you look at the underlying numbers from that playoff run last year, they were really strong in favor of Aiden Hill. So I'm going to buy into the Aiden Hill hype and what he did in the playoffs last year.
Hey, since we're on goaltending, let's spice things up right now on the podcast. So let's travel to the frigid temperatures of Alberta. Pete, we can start with you. Who is more likely to have a bounce back season? Is it Jacob Markstrom, who has been nowhere to be found for the last two seasons or a season and a half since that series against the Edmonton Oilers? Or is it Jack Campbell off 36 appearances at 3.41 and 888? How would you answer that question, Pete?
I think it's Jacob Markstrom. I think even at their floor, the Flames are going to be in the running for that second wild card spot in the Western Conference. And with Edmonton, guys, I just feel like Stuart Skinner, right? He's coming off a Calder Trophy top three finish. There's still room for improvement. I think by accident, Stuart Skinner could have 30, 35 wins this season, maybe even higher. We've seen guys like Cam Talbot have 40 wins in the past with the Oilers, and this is a much better team. So I would go with Markstrom just because he's going to get the volume and Campbell's probably not.
Jake, is it crazy for me to say I'm actually hopping in on both these guys? I don't know why. It's got a feeling like Jack Campbell's body of work in Toronto was big enough to tell me he can stop a puck at the NHL level. So if these guys are sniffing around the late rounds and I need a third or fourth, probably a fourth goalie, I'm taking a flyer. How do you feel, Jake?
Well, when you first posed the question, I thought Markstrom 100%, because that's one of my ride or dies going into this year. We did ride or dies as a part of our fantasy preview, and a little scary to do it, but I just think based on his ADP right now and where he's being ranked, mm-hmm. I think he's somebody that I can throw in my queue and say, hey, you know, most of my leagues, I want to get this guy on my roster. I understand the risk that comes with it. We saw what happened last year with Calgary, but I think the reward and the ceiling is such a high payoff with Markstrom, where the Flames get back to that team from a couple of years ago. And guys, I know we're talking, oh, bounce back for the Flames. Maybe they can make a wild card spot, and they could. I think if everything really goes well, we could see them even jump into that top three in the Pacific and really be a true contender again in the Western Conference. So I'm willing to roll the dice on Markstrom. That being said, I have interest in Jack Campbell as well. I just think the Oilers are a good team that's going to win a lot of games. Do we really see Stuart Skinner starting like 60 plus games this year? I just don't see it being that big of a split, especially with the money that they're paying to Jack Campbell. I think he deserves a bit of a second chance this year with the Oilers. So interest in both guys, but I would certainly lean Markstrom out of the two.
All right, let's go further with this, Anna. Cam Talbot, I'll enter him into the equation. 17-14-2 last year, 2.93, 898 with the Ottawa Senators, but now he lands with the LA Kings, and I think he's got the inside track over Phoenix Copley here.
I agree. Cam Talbot's proven himself. If you go way back with the Minnesota Wild, he was a solid goaltender, and sometimes it just takes a change of environment to really spice things up. The LA Kings give him the supporting cast he needs to maybe go back to Minnesota. Cam Talbot, they were top five in the league last year and the fewest shots on goal allowed per game among all teams. So what better stat for a goalie than hearing that? So I'm right there with you, Nick. I like Cam Talbot. He was a player that I actually wrote about yesterday. So you're kind of reading my mind.
There you go. And looking at your list here, Pete, and you can jump off this, a lot of former LA Kings, Gabe Vilardi, Sean Durzi. There's a lot of value in these guys right now, eh?
Yeah, definitely. Even Alex Iafallo up in Winnipeg. Yeah. Maybe those guys could be on the same line with like an Ehlers or a Connor. We'll still see if Winnipeg makes any more trades in the preseason or during the season, which is definitely a possibility with some of those guys like Scheifele and Hellebuck. But I do like the sneaky appeal of the Winnipeg Jets, again, to hang around for a playoff spot. I can't say I wouldn't pick them to make the playoffs right now after they snuck in last year, played poorly down the stretch, did give Vegas a nice little run in game one. A lot of people forget about that, but, you know, again, I'm not that high on the Winnipeg Jets. With the sleeper, deep sleeper list, there were two teams, actually, and I wanted to make a point to discuss these teams because we really haven't talked about them very much this offseason. Philadelphia Flyers and Nashville Predators. There are a bunch of guys on here, Jake. There's Tommy Novak, who was close to a point per game last year. There's the rookie Luke Evangelista, right? There's Parsonen. And then on Philly, there's guys like Morgan Frost and Tyson Forster, the rookie, and Owen Tippett. Like, if you were to choose between those two teams and their trajectory, which one are you jumping on for maybe a deep sleeper?
I think Nashville probably has the more interesting young names, and you just mentioned a few of them, and we saw them pop in the second half of last season. But I don't know. I'm kind of worried about how it's all going to come together for the Preds this year. It was one thing to play those games last season. You know, they've shipped off a couple of older players. They're going full young up front. Obviously, they still have Yossi on the back end and a good goaltender in Saros. But I'm kind of tepid to go in on the Predators this year because I actually think that it could go the other way for them before it improves. I think Barry Trotz has come in and done the right things in Nashville long term, but I think there could be some growing pains there. I kind of sneaky think Philly might be a tough team to play against early in the season, guys. Like, I don't know, it just feels like December, I'm going to pull up the standings and the Flyers are going to somehow be in a playoff spot and they're going to be that team. And they probably won't hang on to that playoff spot, but I just think they're going to win more games than maybe people think they will going into this season. And they've got some really interesting names coming back into the lineup, like Sean Couturier and Cam Atkinson, two guys that have maybe been forgotten about a little bit in fantasy hockey. And I know the risk of taking guys that are coming off injuries and older players, but I think maybe there could be some value there because those are guys that nobody's thinking about in fantasy hockey anymore because they missed time last year.
And Anna, I know you're high. You're a fan of Tortorella. Like, my question is, how much longer is he going to be the coach of this team? Again, I could see them overachieve now that they have Couturier back. Couturier is like one of the best two-way players in the whole league. So hopefully he's healthy. He'll make a fantasy difference. But to me, like the direction of the team with Briere and drafting Michkov, right? Like this is on the 2 to 3 year plan, and more chances than not that won't involve Torts, right?
You never know. You never know what can happen with any team that John Tortorella coaches. If there's one coach in the NHL that can squeeze any roster of guys, you can pick and choose them into the playoffs and make them competitive, it's John Tortorella, right? We saw that with Columbus. And with Philadelphia, are they going to make the playoffs this year? No, but I agree with Jake. I wouldn't be shocked if in the first half of the season, this team is in a playoff spot because they have a lot of these young names that get so overlooked. Owen Tippett, you threw out there, Pete. We just glossed over this guy. I mean, he was almost a 30-goal scorer, had over 230 shots on goal last season, and performed just as well as anyone could on this Philadelphia Flyers team. So he's a player I'm looking at. Tyson Forrester, you can put this kid on any list we have, Pete. Breakout, rookie, sleeper, wherever you want to have him. I think the sky's the limit for him. So they have some exciting pieces, and maybe Torts is the coach that can surprise us all and get this Philly team much further than any of us expect.
Look, I mean, we love our success stories on this podcast, but if Philadelphia's making it, who's coming out? Like, I'm sorry, I can't get behind this take. I think Philadelphia is rebuilding. I think there's going to be a lot of turnover on that roster, but you know, it's a tough transition as we get back to some of our lists here. But like, the two names that stuck out to us, guys, from like July 1st, right? Jonathan Drouin, like, here's my hot take. He's going to score more than 2 goals this season, more than 29 points. And then Connor Brown. And there's a familiarity with the two, right, Jake? The fact that they're playing with former buddies that they played in the CHL with.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's kind of hand in hand almost, basically, with those storylines, and maybe a big reason why those moves were made, right? I've always been a Connor Brown fan. I think for fantasy hockey, it might be a little bit difficult for me to get there. Obviously, it would be more of a later round flyer anyways. I think he's an underrated hockey player. I think he's a guy I would want on my team, and I think he's going to work out really well there. From a fantasy aspect, I'd have more interest in Jonathan Drouin because as it looks right now, he's going to get that plum line assignment. Now, we've seen him get great line assignments in the past, not run with it. So, I mean, if you can't make it work with this line combination,
exactly.
I'm sorry, you're not going to make it work in the NHL anymore. You've been given multiple chances at this point. So maybe it's like a last chance effort with Jonathan Drouin in fantasy. We'll take one more flyer with him. And if he burns us again, it's straight to the waiver wire and I'm never looking at him again.
Well, that's exactly it. Like, he's become an abyss, a black hole for me in fantasy hockey. I see that name, I turn away. I'm sorry. But again, to your point, Jake and Pete, you can jump in on this. If you can't do it with your old line mate in the QMJHL and Nathan MacKinnon, oh yeah, and you get Mikko Rantanen, then tough sledding. Like, I'm never talking to you again, right?
Right. It's really interesting when you look at these old line mates reunited and even Max Domi, like with what we're seeing in Leafs training camp early on, William Nylander potentially going to play center. Max Domi has the past right connection with Mitch Marner. So if those guys play together and Nylander's on another line, does that mean that Matthew Knies is a slam dunk rookie sleeper that could contend for the Calder Trophy? Everybody's talking about Cooley and Bedard and right Devin Levi and Adam Fantilli even looks great, had a Hattie in one of the prospect scrimmages and stuff. But to me, like, Matthew Nye is buddies with Austin Matthews. They train together. Matthews is staying. He probably wants to play with Matty Nye. What do you think about that, Jake?
Honestly, the Leafs line combinations are fascinating for me. We don't know what they're going to be going into the year. And, you know, take what you will with line combos. As you guys know, playing fantasy hockey, they change all the time. They change within games. So it could be difficult. But I think no matter who you're taking in that Leafs offense, I think you got to be pretty excited about who they could be playing with, right? And we see the news this week about William Nylander possibly being moved over to center. Who knows how long, you know, that's going to stick, but it just gives them versatility where you can move players to the wing, you can move players down the middle of the ice, and now you've got all these wingers that you can mix and match as well, with Bertuzzi there, Domi. You guys mentioned Matthew Nyes as well. To me, I think Nye should be playing up in the lineup. I think he should be playing with skilled players, and he should be given those top 6 minutes. If he's on the third line, I just don't know how much he's going to be able to impact the game and impact your fantasy rosters. But if he gets that top six assignment playing with good players, I think he's got a ton of value, because he really impressed me. Nick, I know you know, you watch this team closely, you cover the team. I thought at times when he was healthy in the playoffs, he was probably their most impressive forward.
Yeah, and it speaks volumes to that Leafs team, right? When a guy's played 10 games in the league is your best player in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But yeah, that seems to be the model for a lot of teams, because they look at Vegas and the depth and teams like St. Louis in the past, and they say, hey, we can do this with depth. And that's why I think you're seeing Nylander up the middle. Anna, you want to chime in here?
I do. I mean, we're talking about the Leafs. We're talking about all these big names. But this is still a sleepers episode, guys. And not to sound like David Satriano bringing up another goalie here, but Joseph Woll on the Toronto Maple Leafs. This guy kind of was their saving grace in the playoffs last year. But I don't really know if I'm touching him in a regular season, full, like, season-long fantasy league. His upside really intrigues me. Really intrigues me, Nick.
Yes, he does. And he also guested on Leafs Morning Take. Nice little promo for my show. Joseph Woll, an absolute gem of a human being. This is a really, really deep, deep, deep sleeper, guys. But I have a theory that's why they signed Ilya Samsonov to a one-year contract. He's 1 year away from UFA, because they feel strongly in Joseph Woll, and they should. I think there's a potential he could steal away playing time. It's a volatile position. Guys get banged up all the time. They brought in Marty Jones as a tertiary option. I actually like this look. I think the most important part, Jake, here is to monitor the goaltending situation moving forward. Like, I'm not drafting Joseph Woll, but if something happens, I'd be ready to claim this guy.
Well, and I think it makes Samsonov a bit more of a risky pick earlier in your draft, obviously, than Woll would go. Not to say you shouldn't draft Samsonov. He's like, even if he does bleed starts to Woll or even Party Marty Jones for that matter. Yeah, exactly. Even if he bleeds a few starts there, still think he's going to give you fine value. So I wouldn't stay away from Samsonov by any means, but there is that in the back of my mind to think, hey, if I spend a higher pick on him and Woll just ends up being flat out the better goaltender and the Leafs just run with him all season, you know, I'm going to be left with a hole in my roster like that. So I think it gives me pause on drafting a Leafs goaltender early. And like Anna said, I think there is value in Woll. He just looks like a talented goaltender. If you listen to people that really know the position, that have played the position, a lot of people hyping this kid up as someone that could be a real impactful goaltender at the NHL level. So maybe more of a longer term play, like a keeper league play for Joe Woll, but I think he could also have some success this year as well.
Pete, if there's one thing I'm learning from today's episode, is to tread carefully on goaltenders, because there's value out there. No, like Spencer Knight's another name I would throw out there, right, Pete?
Right. He should be the backup to Sergei Bobrovsky. And again, if you can pinpoint guys like Bobrovsky and Samsonov that have had rocky goings in recent years, whether it's injuries, illness, you know, off the ice, whatever it is, like, and you can take a stab at one of the backups or third string guys, you should do that. I mean, maybe, you know, a third string guy like Kochetkov is on the scene already, but a third string guy like Yaroslav Askarov from the Predators is somebody to just keep in mind. If you need a third or fourth goalie option, Jake, deep in your lineup, right? Like, he's going to be playing for an organization that will eventually make him part of the timeshare with UC Soros. And Barry Trotz is there now running things. It's going to be defensive oriented. It's going to cater to the goaltenders. That's what we've seen throughout his career as a coach and now a general manager.
Yeah, I think the goaltending position this year is so interesting in general, guys. Like how often do we see these injuries to goaltenders where teams have to go second string, third string, all the way down the roster? So I think you're going to have to try out some different players, and there's going to be some really interesting names. I mean, we've already mentioned a few of them that are basically being rated as G3s right now that I think are going to get a fair share of starts this year as well. So I always look at it and say, okay, there's a tier, like a top tier of goaltenders where if you miss that tier, you could kind of wait a little bit, because I think past those, you know, top five, top six goaltenders, not a lot separates like 7 to 20 for me. So I'd stay patient after that top tier of goaltenders goes, because I think it's pretty murky after that.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to sort of pinpoint goalies. And I want to see in general the goalie run. But you talk about bounce back candidates, guys, far and away, there's two names that head my list, and I'm sure they're sniffing around on your list too. Let's start with this guy down in Tampa Bay. It is sickening, absolutely sickening, Jake, seeing some of these lists come out, and my boy Victor Hedman nowhere to be found, coming off a 9-goal, 49-point, 76-game season, tinkering back and forth from PP1 to PP2. That's the big story in training camp for me, aside from Steven Stamkos' comments. But, like, who's going to run the first power play unit? But let's not forget, this guy is a future Hall of Famer, multiple Stanley Cups, 20 goals, 85 points just two seasons ago. Are you a believer in a Victor Hedman bounce back season, Jay Conn?
Yeah, Stammer gave us a little juice, which we appreciate doing shows in the preseason. You need a little bit of, you need something to talk about. So that was that was nice for Stamkos to give us those quotes and those comments. But Hedman's such an interesting file, Nick. I've never really been a big Hedman guy for fantasy, just because, look, we know how good he is. He's one of the best defensemen in the league, one of the best defensemen of his generation. But I always felt like he got a little overdrafted just based on his name value, and never really it brought you back exactly where he should be going in drafts. And he obviously got overdrafted last year, and we saw the disappointing season and, you know, losing that PP1 spot to Sergachev. So I think I'm going to let someone else make the pick. Personally, I can understand the case for a bounce back. And if he does get that PP1 roll back, his value is going to skyrocket. I mean, that Tampa power play is still going to be nasty this year with the aforementioned Stamkos and Kucherov feeding passes over. But I just kind of feel like they're slowly, you know, tossing the reins over to Sergachev. They gave him the huge contract for big money. So I think it's his role to lose at this point. He certainly could lose it. And like I said, there's a case to be made for Hedman. But I think I'm going to let someone else in my league make that pick this year.
Jake, we're in the same league together, so thank you very much. Another hot take. I think he's grossly going to outplay his ADP, Pete. Like, I've seen around 45 to 50. Like, Hedman's still a guy who's going to get hits. He's going to get power play points. Like, I think if you were to pull me right now, I think he wins it over Sergachev. Like, he's Victor Hedman. I think my problem is that, you know, the same thing happened last year with Dougie Hamilton. You forget how good these guys are. And Victor Hedman is not even on the same planet as like a Dougie Hamilton in terms of what his potential is and what he can be as an NHL defenseman. I think there's always like a recency thing in this fantasy world, Pete.
Yeah, and just to tie a bow on the Hedman conversation, yeah, you were talking about, Nick, how the plethora of rest is going to help certain players. It's not going to help anybody more than Victor Hedman, because that guy has been banged up in, you know, brutal playoff series, high stakes games over the past 3 or 4 years. All the whole calendar, it's pretty insane what that guy's been through and the level he's been able to play at through those injuries. So yeah, I agree. I think Hedman's being disrespected a little bit here, but one guy on defense, bounce back candidate, and Jake, I wanted to hear your input. We've been talking all about Connor Bedard this offseason. I want to talk about some of his teammates. Seth Jones is a bounce back candidate, in my opinion, that could score 65 points, a new career high. Taylor Hall, bounce back candidate. Lucas Reichel, breakout candidate. Do you like these guys, or is this team going to bottom out if one of them gets injured, you know?
I think the one that interests me the most is actually Seth Jones on the back end. And I talk about this with defensemen all the time. Sometimes you look at their points and you go, man, like, this leaves a lot to be desired, but you have to look at what's in front of them, because you can only do so much as a defenseman. I mean, some guys are really good at getting the puck through, getting those shots on goal and actually scoring goals. But a lot of it, you're relying on your forwards to finish and you're relying on assists to rack up most of your points. So when you're on a team like Seth Jones was on last year, and there's just really no finishing ability up front for Chicago last season. And we all know they stripped that roster down and they were trying to tank for the first overall pick. And luckily for them, they got it. The lottery balls fell their way and they get Connor Bedard. So I have so much more interest in Seth Jones now, because I think Bedard is going to score a ton of goals this year. I mean, everyone can guess their numbers, and I'm sure you guys have already done that on the podcast already before the season. And you've got Taylor Hall as well, who's got finishing ability. You mentioned Reichel, and there's a couple of other young players in that lineup. So I think Seth Jones could really benefit from that, and he's going to be in on a lot of those plays and probably pick up a lot more assists than he did last year. So I think there's some value there in Seth Jones.
Jake, I could feel the sweat from producer Bob Bender watching those clips of Connor Bedard score and score and score. Take the over on the point total nonetheless, and I want to get your thoughts on the questioning there from Pete, because I think it's interesting, right? People are going to stay away from Chicago. They're going to go after Bedard, but I love that Seth Jones angle. So he's coming off a 37-point year, hit the 50-point mark a couple of years back with Chicago, but just give the puck to Bedard on the power play. You're going to pick up some cookies here.
Seth Jones was the one Blackhawk that held on to our rankings towards the end of last season. Like, he was barely there, just clawing to stay on this list, because I don't know if you guys ever watched The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but that scene with just Will Smith by himself alone in that entire room, that was Seth Jones on the Blackhawks last year, guys. Yeah. That's how they left him there. And this year he gets the opportunity to make something of himself. You brought up a great point, Nick. Just two seasons ago, he was a 50-point player with Chicago. His career high was 57 with Columbus a couple of seasons back. I wonder if with Bedard, it's enough juice to get Seth Jones right up there into the 50-point range, maybe even a career year for him, because he's the biggest asset on this team behind Bedard right now.
I mean, we saw great performance from Taylor Hall. You could get that guy like around 130, yeah, 140, 150 in your draft, a former MVP from the past, 5 years or so. So Hall was so good in the playoffs. There are a couple other playoff trends I wanted to get to here. Two of my favorite players are guys that lit it up in the playoffs. The goalie, Akira Schmid, for the New Jersey Devils. Two shutouts, Jake, in the series against the Rangers. Absolutely snatched that series away. He has a great potential in the years to come. And also Ivan Barbashev, he's staying in Vegas. He's staying on the line with Marchessault and Jack Eichel, one of the best 5-on-5 line trios in the playoffs. So, you know, I'm probably going to be getting those guys on all my teams this year.
Yeah, the Devils' goaltending is interesting. I lean Schmid out of the two right now, but I think you can make a strong case for either one. And if you pick the right one, you're going to be looking really good, because I think we can all agree the Devils are going to win a lot of games this year and be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference and one of the top teams in the NHL. So I think there's risk involved with drafting one of the Devils' goaltenders. But again, if you pick right and you get the guy that's going to be 60 to 70% shares of the starts, then you're going to be looking really good in your league. Barbashev's an interesting one, because I would have never thought I'd be even thinking about him in a fantasy draft or taking him in the mid rounds or anything like that. But a good line assignment. Clearly Vegas likes him, giving him that kind of money. I never expected us to be talking about Barbashev getting that kind of coin, but clearly Vegas really likes this player and he's in a good spot. So I don't mind it, but there might be some other players in that range that I would go to first.
Anna, I want to open the door for you on Akira Schmid. I know your eyes tinkled when we brought his name up there.
I think he is set up to possibly be the biggest fantasy draft steal this season, guys, because people are still focusing on Vanacek. And I mean, is he the go-to guy? Barely right now in New Jersey. He's been tumultuous with the Devils. He's been tumultuous with the Capitals before he got to New Jersey. I don't know where this faith in Vanacek, whoever, it's not coming from Jake, which I like to hear, but it seems like a recurring theme this offseason that Vanacek is the go-to guy in New Jersey. I think Schmid takes the reins over rather quickly for this team. Great in keeper leagues. I would draft him over Vanacek in a regular league as well. And I feel like I'm going to get him at a pretty good draft position. So marking it right now, clip this clip, Schmid is going to be the biggest draft steal in fantasy this season.
We'll put that there with your Arizona Coyotes making the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's going to go hand in hand, but I like the take. In general, New Jersey's crease does scare me, but I think if there's one guy to prevail in that battle, it's going to be Akira Schmid. For now, let's get to one of our listener questions brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. And it's a guy, weirdly enough, we haven't brought up yet. Jonathan Huberdeau, Jake, a 60-point drop in production. It is insane for me to even say that, but Ryan Huska now behind the bench in Calgary. What's your expectation for Jonathan Huberdeau this season?
As soon as you brought up bounce back candidates, the first name that popped into my mind was Jonathan Huberdeau, because I just think he has the most bounce back potential of any player. He was arguably, maybe not even arguably, the most disappointing fantasy file last year based on where he was drafted and what kind of production that he gave you. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder this year, guys. Like, he signs the big ticket. He comes over to a new team. We've seen players struggle like that before, but he was also playing for Daryl Sutter. And if you hear people talk that surround the Flames, and we've had multiple people that cover the Flames come on our shows and say that it's just an uncomfortable environment coming to the arena. Like, it wasn't fun for the guys last year. And I think they're going to have fun this year, or at least and obviously winning is going to help. And that's going to be a key factor, but I really do think that Sutter had an effect on that team. And Huberto, just, you know, even late in games, you wouldn't even see Huberto on the ice. The Flames would be looking to tie the game with 30 seconds left, down one, and Huberto's on the bench. And I'm thinking, man, this has got to be weighing on this guy, because this is not the role that he's used to playing. So I think Huberto, again, to an extent, how far does he bounce back in that offense? But I think he's going to be much better this year. And I think he's got a major chip on his shoulder, and I'd be looking at a few Flames players to bounce back, because I really do think that Daryl Sutter had a negative effect on that team last year.
How could he not, right? When you look at Huberto, the 60-point drop is just ridiculous. Goes from 115 to 55 points. I probably have him slotted in around 80 to 85 points. But again, Pete, I think this is a guy who's going to grossly outplay his ADP this season.
Right. And remember, just because a team had a sour finish last year or a sour season at large doesn't mean you shouldn't consider, you know, players from the Vancouver Canucks like Anthony Beauvillier, who's playing up top with Elias Pettersson, or at least he did last year. And then one other team that didn't have a lot of fun coming into the rink. You hear all these things about how Crosby has been training harder than ever. Now he's got EK65, still Malkin, still Letang, still Gensel when he comes back from injury. But don't sleep on Riley Smith in Pittsburgh. He was a big component of what the Golden Knights did so well over their first 5-6 seasons of existence. He now goes to Pittsburgh, where he could latch on to either Crosby or Malkin's line, could be a big overachiever at even strength, at least. Probably not going to be on power play one, but could be a difference maker for that team if they, you know, win another playoff round or something, Anna.
It's a crowded room in Pittsburgh, though, too. So I like Riley Smith. You're going to get him really good position in your drafts, and he's a sleeper I'm keeping an eye on. But there's a lot of depth right now in the NHL, so there's some guys that intrigue me just a tad bit more. We had a couple of fan questions come in about two specific players, and I want to ask which one you guys would rather have, okay? Barrett Hayton in Arizona, he gets overlooked a lot because of the Logan Cooley in the room. I feel like everyone's talking about Clayton Keller, Cooley, Nick Schmaltz. Glossing over Hayton a little bit, he's still the first line center in Arizona. You can get him for a great value. He could have a breakout season this year if he stays on the first line playing with guys like Clayton Keller and Nick Schmaltz. And Gabe Vilardi, we've talked a lot about him. I like his lineup position in Winnipeg. If he's playing with a guy like Ehlers, maybe he's taking the next step. I think this was a great return for Winnipeg, honestly, in that trade. Maybe they even come out on top in the long run. So between those two guys, who are you more leaning on picking up in your leagues?
I'm going to go with Hayton here out of the two. I do like Vilardi's spot in the lineup in Winnipeg, and I think I'm more bullish on the Jets than most other people are this year. I think a lot of people are writing them off, or at least some people are writing them off. I think the Jets are going to compete for a playoff spot this year, and I feel like if Ehlers stays healthy, if Connor stays healthy, they could actually have a pretty nice top six this year. Mark Scheifele's still there. I know he's, you know, looking for a contract, and that could be a topic of conversation this year, but I think Vilardi is going to fit in nicely and he's going to score some goals. I'm just taking Hayton because of the familiarity there with that top line. I mean, you mentioned it. They were a great top line in the second half of the season last year. And I can't remember when the Arizona Coyotes have ever had a legitimate first line. It's been a long time and they finally found it. So Cooley's going to do his thing. I think he probably starts on the second line. You know, maybe they mix things up as the season goes on, but I'd keep that line, Hayton, Schmaltz and Keller together to start the season, get off to a nice start. So I have a lot of interest in Barrett Hayton. I liked what I saw from him last year.
I'll go with Gabe Vilardi. I like the line assignment. I like the fresh look with the Winnipeg Jets. I think, as Anna mentioned, the Cooley effect could have an impact on Hayden's fantasy value. And I think Velarde's a guy that people really don't think about, but he comes with high pedigree, right, Pete?
Definitely. I think I like, between the former Kings guys, I think I like Durzi a little bit more because he's going to bring all that. The power play one, you could at least say for sure, is going to be Cooley, probably Hayton, and then Keller and Schmaltz. So if that unit stays healthy, Durzi is going to clean up here this upcoming season and exceed expectations at a very scarce position in late fantasy rounds on defense. But yeah, Vilardi and the Jets, I think, are a lock. Anytime that you can pinpoint a guy that was playing on a third line that was producing at the clip he was, then could now play on a second or first line. That's like the name of the game in fantasy hockey. So Vilardi, I think, was a breakout pick for Mike Kelly, for Anna, for a lot of other people out there. They saw what he did in LA. And I don't like that LA team nearly as much, guys, as I did last season, even with Dubois. I think they lost a lot this offseason for the goalie Corpusalo and Vilardi and Durzi, right? They're and already Brandt Clark is injured. So there's a lot to worry about them. They're not a lock for the playoffs.
Maybe the Vancouver Canucks sniff into that conversation. Lots of meat on this bone for sure. Jay Kahn of SiriusXM NHL Network Radio, you're the best. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Yeah, great to be back with you guys. It really feels like the season is right around the corner when I'm talking to you guys. So hopefully on again soon, and enjoy the start of the season, everybody.
The one and only Jay Kahn, as we look forward to another great listener question brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. And it revolves around the Detroit Red Wings. He's actually a guy who had on my list here, Anna. Lucas Raymond, how do you feel about a bounce back sort of sleeper season for him?
I think he has the best opportunity he's had thus far in his career this year. If he's playing with Dylan Larkin, the Detroit Red Wings are trying to get something going over there. And the lineup position, DeBrincat, it's giving him all of the opportunities to really take the next step this year. So I like him. Anytime you can get a guy who's going to play on the first line, maybe, it's worth monitoring in fantasy for sure, right?
Right. And it's just two seasons ago that he was right up there with Seider among one of the most promising young players in the entire league. So, you know, they made a lot of noise with all those secondary moves and Compher and Sprong and Gostisbehere and Petrie, but I'm leaning toward the guy that was already there that's going to benefit from that type of lineup placement with the DeBrincat addition. That's just a big teammate beneficiary. We've been talking about all these offseason moves and which are the guys that are going to benefit as a result. And Raymond's definitely near the top of that list.
Another name I love in Detroit this season, by the way, Mo Sider bounced back. He was not good in the first 35 games last year, really took off in the second half. Love him, especially when you talk about the attachment to DeBrincat and those guys. And Larkin, love the value of where you'll get Mo Sider. Some other names to gloss through in terms of sleepers. People want to hear this. Ville Husso you have on your list. Dmitry Orlov. I saw Carolina's back end and what they're practicing with. My goodness. The one name I really like, Filip Hronek with Vancouver. Didn't play a game with the Canucks after that trade, but he had a really good year with Detroit. So I would look at him, Rasmus Sandin, a lot of like defensemen, I would say later on, even some guys like Mike Matheson had a really, really good year. I think you can find a lot of value in and some of those D like deep sleepers.
Absolutely. That's a position that we're lucky this year. You don't really have to draft too early because all of those guys you listed are great options. Specifically, when you look at like a guy like Dmitry Orlov and Carolina's D-Cor, deepest D-Cor in the league, you'd be good if you drafted any guy from that. Brady Shea, just another name I'm throwing out there. He doesn't get enough credit. He produced so much among all defensemen last year in the NHL, and I feel like people gloss over him. So that's another one. But for sure, you can pick up a lot of blue liners late in your draft this year.
Some other names on the breakout candidate list here, Pete. You got Jake Sanderson, Bowen Byram. I love that. We mentioned Schmid earlier on. Wyatt Johnston, Shane Pinto, Kirill Marchenko, William Eklund, Seth Jarvis, Pod Colson in Vancouver, Alexander Holtz in New Jersey, Arthur Kaliev. Like, there's a lot of names you can look at this year.
Right. And one that I don't think we've mentioned that much, and I've been super high on the Sabres all offseason, but JJ Paterka, mm-hmm. I could see a couple years from now developing into one of those trademark, right, pedigree German-born players that are taking the NHL by storm right now, right? You have Seider that you mentioned earlier, Leon Draisaitl, right? Tim Stützle is approaching 100 points last year. Pretty insane. And I think the next guy in line is JJ Paterka, even in a secondary role. He could be huge for Buffalo this year.
Brings me back to like the mid-90s and knuckle puck time, Pete. NHL Backstory, a series of podcasts highlighting the Anaheim Ducks and how they came to be. I have the Mighty Ducks D2 poster, as you know, in my condo, so make sure you go check that out. And I know you guys are fired up. You're signed up for your Yahoo Leagues, man. The drafts are coming up. I just can't wait. My first one's actually in 7 days from now, Pete.
Yeah, and coming up next week as well, right, Anna? We got the big YouTube draft Fantasy on Ice in the New York City studio, right? And Nick's going to be flying in for that. It's going to be a blast. September 26th, Tuesday at 2 p.m. Mark it down. Join the conversation in the chat room. We're going to have a blast that day, guys.
Just 10 days left until October, guys. Actually, are there 31 days or 30 days in September? One of the two.
I don't know.
9 or 10 days left until October, guys. Hockey's just around the corner.
I think my sole objective of that draft will be to take every one of Anna's boys. So we'll leave it at that. She's disappointed. Many thanks once again to producer Bob Bender for putting everything together. For Pete Jensen and Anna Dua, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.